Good evening, everybody. Welcome to New Jersey Revolution Radio on the web at www.njrevolutionradio.com. We've got a ton of exciting stuff on the website going on. We've got two basic stories that, you know, the different shows are following. Heather is, of course, following this support from a anti-gun group founded by Mike Bloomberg. And their endorsement of Jeff Van Drew. And then I'm also following Jackie Wentzel's efforts in Ocean, New Jersey, to save 32 acres of still preserved nature in her town. So, you know, if you check the website, you can get up to speed with those drives. If you can help with these kinds of efforts, you know, please, if you can't figure out how to get in touch with anybody from that drive, you can always inbox the show on the message us link. And, you know, we'll get you in touch with the people that you need to get in touch with. We're here to support the activist community by making sure that, you know, resources are made available to all of us. So if somebody has some expertise or some organizing skills or something that anybody can use in these drives, get in touch with us. My guest tonight is Pat Noble. Pat is a friend of mine, and we've been hanging out for a while now. He's been involved with 15 now. For a bit. Now, just a quick story. I got involved with 15 now because I saw Shama Sawant in Seattle get elected, not running away at all from being a Marxist or a socialist. Now, Pat's not of Trotskyist descent in the socialist world. But then I started looking into elected socialists, and I said, you know, a couple of years later, I find Pat. I'm like, holy shit, how come I know about the socialist in Seattle, but I don't know about the socialist in New Jersey? Pat, how many socialists are elected that use the title socialist, that, you know, without getting into the particulars of what kind of socialist they are?
To the best of it, thank you for having me on, by the way. I should start with that. To the best of my knowledge, there's only three right now. Myself, Shama Sawant in Seattle, and then, of course, Bernie Sanders in Vermont.
You're gonna let him sneak in over the line there.
You asked me who uses the term. You didn't ask me what I think about them using the term. It's probably a different discussion.
Yeah, man. So I'm glad to have you on. It's been a while since we've hung out. So it's nice to be able to catch up with you and do a podcast and let people know about Socialist Party and your work here in New Jersey. But some background on you, man. How did you come to be a school board member who's part of the Socialist Party?
Well, I've been in the Socialist Party since 2010. 2011, I ran for freeholder in Monmouth County. Obviously didn't win that election, but had a lot of fun doing it. And then the year after, I ran for school board for Red Bank Regional and ended up being elected with something like 54% of the vote. And that was sort of it. Got reelected three years later, then I'm actually up for reelection this year.
Wow, time flies, man. I remember you winning that last one. And, you know, so what work, as far as being on a school board, how does that fit into, like, your overall kind of organizing vision? Because, I mean, as an anti-capitalist, I'm sure that there's other areas of our society, which you're trying to get into. How do you see being on a school board in Red Bank working towards those goals?
I think one thing that the left in general, I think, misses the mark on is the idea of, like, I think day-to-day competency might be the best term off the top of my head. You know, the left comes up with these, you know, amazing, incredible ideas of, you know, what they want society to look like, these bold ideas of how they want to dismantle capitalism, you know, very strong immediate gains they want to make against the current system. And that's all well and good. But as far as the day-to-day, you know, responsibilities, I think the left sometimes misses, you know, inspiring that confidence of, we can actually do the work, not just come up with the ideas.
Right.
So I think school board is certainly one example. Even, you know, running community campaigns, organizing work, that sort of thing. I think shows that the left is capable of not just coming up with big ideas, but actually, and not only carry them out, but also doing like the day-to-day, the small, the minutia, things like that.
Yeah, it definitely. And I've kind of, I've thought along the same lines when I think about labor and why it's important that labor unions be involved. And I've often said, well, if we want to take control of the means of production, that's great, but we're going to have to know how to use them once we get them. You know, it's great that we will take over the production, but if we can't run the mills, then society ain't going to work out all that well. So what, as far as your work with Socialist Party, now you've held, not only do you do the school board work, but you've held a number of positions at the national leadership level of Socialist Party. What goes on there? What's that like? What's the dynamic? How many people, what's represented on the national body, and what kind of work are you doing up top there?
All right. So I've been one of the national co-chairs of the party for a little over 2 years, 2.5 years. I was elected in 2015 and reelected last October. So as far as the party goes, we're governed by, we have two co-chairs and vice chairs, as well as a 16-person national committee that handles sort of the day-to-day business of the party in between our conventions. I will say nationally, we brought this up last year, but I'm still really proud of it, which was that up until the last convention, our party had a gender-balanced leadership, where we, up until that point, I think they made these rules in sometime in the early 90s, but it was the idea that the national leadership was a requirement that it was broken down 50% female, 50% male. And at that time, in the 90s coming up with that, it was a big radical thing. But in 2017, which is when we had our last convention, that structure, even though it still had a great deal of importance, really didn't fly. A lot of comrades don't identify with one of those two genders, so it really doesn't work anymore. So we changed the structure, so it can't, now the rule that says it can't be majority male identifying. Okay. So it's more of a living, breathing structure that can move around. And at the time when we came up with it, it was, we're going to do this. We're probably still going to, hit that 50-50 mark. And then over time, the structure will sort of fix itself. So we have the election. At the end of the election, we elected a 75% non-male national committee at the time. And that wasn't anyone going out of the way to do that. That just happened organically, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, man. It does happen, like you said, it does happen organically. And, I know over at the Green Party, man, trying to, get diversity into the party has been something that it was a conversation before I got there. When I got there, people were talking about it. And I think it's been a line on the Green Party for as long as I've known. And it took some structural work to, start that process. And even though I say it's definitely a work in progress, it's starting to take hold, and we're starting to see diversity. We got a good slate out of Newark this year, and some other places where, we didn't have a presence before, and it's important, to do that community-based work. I know Socialist Party's been involved in community-based work. Can we talk about Greg a little bit behind his back? He's not going to listen.
you don't think he'll listen to your podcast?
Well, maybe not. Maybe now that I brought him up, he might. But listen.
Yeah, now that he knows that he's mentioned, he probably has.
I love the guy. Yeah. I love that. Listen, his legend was there. I mean, he doesn't brag much about his work, but he's done a lot of community based work, and he's a good communist, man. What can I say? Yeah. He represents the cause very well up there in Montclair. What's some of the community-based work going on? Is there anything going on in New Jersey or around New Jersey that you're trying to model, like grassroots type organizing?
You brought up Greg and our North Jersey local. The members up there do a tremendous amount of community organizing, specifically in Montclair, but in that entire area.
Right.
And what's really nice about a lot of the great stuff that they do is that there's a tendency on the left to, slap your name on it no matter what it is and, try to get top billing, that sort of thing. Most of the work they do, even though everyone knows who they are and generally knows what their politics are, they don't they don't go out there and say, we're the socialist party and our name must be on everything and we must be promoted. They're just out there doing the good work.
Yeah. That's the right approach, man.
Yeah. And of course, as you know, the party did a decent amount of organizing work with the 15 Now Coalition in the past couple of years.
Yeah, and definitely showed me as I was learning the left here in New Jersey, because I think I kind of learned on the job a lot with 15 Now.
Yeah.
Showed me that there's a lot of parallels in between some of these groups and that we can work together, that we can bond together on issues, even though, we may not agree on all on which dead Russian, we should be listening to the most. I think that that's grown, I think, since we started 15. Now, I think there is more better coalition work in New Jersey amongst the left over the last.
Oh, yeah. Granted, it is New Jersey. So I think we have a different, probably different mindset than a lot of other areas of the country that allowed that to happen. But even now, even though at the time that coalition didn't hit its ultimate goal, it's still out there. I can't think of any other coalition structure anywhere in the country that had that scope of involvement, that many different, that many different organizations, but that many different philosophies. You had BSP, obviously, Green, Socialist Alternative, some labor groups that really don't get along on a lot of things where, no one's stepping on each other. No one's trying to, take over, lead, anything like that. Everyone just working together and getting the work done. And I really can't think of any other place in the country that has that level that can really match that.
It's about the people that are involved. And I think you had a lot of good people involved. I think that when you put aside that stuff and you just get to know people, and it was a very, really, really small start, and I think that it grew out of people that were like friends, and I think as I've seen the Green Party grow, and I might have had some discussion with somebody, it may have been on a podcast too, I can't remember now, but things get bigger than that social circle that it started out at, and that causes rifts and some growing pains as the organization gets big to the point where not everybody knows each other very, very well, and with 15 Now, I think even though it did get a little bigger than that, it was still a lot of like-minded people. It was still a lot of younger people, I don't think, that were involved in the old politics, and we just wanted to do something that we could grow into, and I think we did. I think we all did, and I think that's what's awesome about it.
So still a lot of work to be done on that front too.
Oh, the Democrats are just fucking it up. Let's talk about what the Democrats are fucking up lately, because there's
I want to talk about it, how it took about 10 minutes for you to drop an F-bomb. I was expecting that in the first 30 seconds. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest.
It doesn't come out until I brought up the Democrats, if you notice.
All right, so next time I'll load a lead with that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll start. That's when I start cursing. So there's a lot to do there. We could start locally in your area. Where would you like to start with what the Democratic Party is doing wrong today?
They're doing everything wrong, but if you want, we can start. We can start locally and work our way up. You look at my town, and Red Bank is in the 11th legislative district.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It has Hoodling and Downey in the assembly. Now we have Vin Gopal as the state senator.
Yes,
what's really crystallizes that for New Jersey Democrats is that was the district they flipped. They loved it. With 3 years ago they flipped the assembly seats, and last year they flipped the Senate seat, and that was in both elections. That was their big crowning victory.
And that's it. Is done.
Nothing has that they elected. going back to the. Minimum wage issue.
Yeah.
Not only that, which at the time was just Hoodling and Downey in the assembly. Gopal hadn't been elected yet. When you look at that as an example, not only were they two of, I think it was six Democrats that were actively fighting the the minimum wage bill in the assembly, one of them's a union guy. I think he's electrical workers. You're a union guy, and you don't think we should raise the minimum wage?
Oh, and you know, I really wish he remembers him, because I think I've spoken to him in person, as a matter of fact, about it. I mean, in this state, I mean, and I hate to just say it's Southern Democrats, because there's a few up north that have been a pain in the ass too, but we know the crew of business Democrats, you know, around the whole state. And even the progressive, I got my little finger quotations up right now. The progressive Democrats are all business people. They're all lawyers and business people and the working class. And even when we get a fucking union guy in there, he sounds like a business guy. So, I mean, on the state level, that Democrat, it's a mess.
But you know what's interesting now, quickly realizing, and now that we have Phil Murphy in the governor's seat instead of Chris Christie.
Yes.
It almost appears, especially with the Senate Democrats and especially with Steve Sweeney, they got along better with Christie than they appear to be getting along with Phil Murphy. Because when Chris Christie was in office, they could say they're in favor of anything they want. They can make every speech they want to make on any issue.
And
they could be taking a position like on minimum wage or on legalizing marijuana, a position they had no intention of following through on, but it didn't matter because Christie was going to veto it. So they could say whatever they wanted to say and get away with it. But now that, even though there's obviously a lot of problems with Phil Murphy, he seems willing to play ball to some degree on some of these issues. And the facade is crumbling, and we're finding out that they don't have any interest in taking up the minimum wage. They have no interest in addressing marijuana legalization in any meaningful way, which is why they're all harping on medical marijuana now, because they'd rather focus on that than talk about the real deal.
Yeah. I look at it, being down and having worked around there for a while and seeing what goes on. It's so much about personal grudges. It's so much about this couple hundred people that work in that golden domed corporate sponsored warehouse, and if you think about Sweeney and Norcross and that faction of the Democratic Party, they've got a reputation for wreaking vengeance on people. There's a reason why lower level Democrats, mayors and city council people and stuff, pee themselves when George Norcross walks around or Steve Sweeney, because if they don't make them happy, they end their career. They don't go anywhere. People cut them off. They build up an entire support network around people so that they can hold them in limbo, if they don't do what the boss wants. And that's the entire an entire wing of the Democratic Party in New Jersey is run like that. Now think about that kind of personality. Sweeney's and Norcross, they're all gearing up to put Sweeney in the governor's mansion. He's going to be the next governor. And in swoops Mr. German ambassador, billionaire Phil Murphy, and plops down, $30 million or so, and buys himself a governorship. Now, knowing what we know about that crew of people, does anybody think that they're going to be nice to Phil Murphy?
No.
What the fuck do we expect?
Yeah.
But
I think it's incredible because, New Jersey has had a strong majority of Democrats in both houses of the legislature for quite a while now.
Yeah.
And up until this point, we're sort of ignoring all the problems with Sweeney and the rest of them, just saying, hey, if we get a Democratic governor in there, everything will be fine. Now they have a Democratic governor and they're not doing anything. But the folks that put them there, the labor unions, the fundraisers who are all about, getting a Democratic governor in there, instead of paying attention to these issues, now they've completely transitioned onto, well, hey, we have to go elect a Democratic House now.
Yeah.
So it always seems like seriously addressing, what the Democrats in office are doing always comes one election later.
Oh, yeah.
And I guarantee you, it doesn't matter if the Democrats retake the House or not in November. As soon as they're in, the conversation is going to shift to, well, okay, now let's elect the Democrat president. No one cares what the Democrats they just elected or the Democratic House they just put in doing. They just immediately transition to let's go elect a Democratic president. At some point, they have to stop and actually hold these people accountable, hold their feet to the fire, do something other than just pouring money into their war chest because they don't want a Republican in there.
And they say they're going to do that, too. I mean, how many times have you – let's look at the Van Drew thing, right? The Van Drew thing we've been talking about. You know, here's a guy who gets a Moms Demand Action endorsement, right? And what's the excuse from the National Moms Demand Action thing? Oh, we're going to hold him accountable if he goes wrong. So we're going to support him. We're going to give him money. We're going to get him elected no matter what. Mm-hmm. But we're going to hold him accountable. And then the next time comes around and he doesn't do what they say, and then they do the same thing again. If you're just endorsing them and putting resources towards them and saying you're going to hold them accountable, that's not really holding them accountable.
And if you want to talk about, you know, New Jersey political vengeance, the only group that actually broke away from that line last year was the NJEA, and they did it by bankrolling a Trump Republican for millions of dollars against Sweeney. Is that really the sum total of labor union opposition to the Democrats in New Jersey? Bankrolling it, not a Republican, an openly pro-Trump Republican.
We don't have a very deep bench here in this state, all right, man? It is what it is. We don't. Yeah. I mean, the amount of public elected officials out there is enormous. What, we have 560 something municipalities.
Oh yeah. You know,
every one of those guys has 600 and something school boards.
Yep. Figure that one out.
Every one of them's got every one of them's got police and elected judges, and I mean, I don't even know how many elected people there are in the state of New Jersey. We only got 9 million people. You know, I mean, it's not a deep. And how many people pay attention to politics?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like 100,000 of us. You know, it's it. It's a very. It's not a deep bench, man. And so even when you want to challenge power, it's hard to do. We tried to challenge, you know, people will tell you, I was going crazy trying to find a Green to run against Steve Sweeney, a socialist, anybody. I was like, we will build a coalition behind somebody. We'll do whatever we got to do to run a left candidate in that district. We couldn't find nobody. No. And the people that may have been considering it got scared and didn't call us back. Mm-hmm.
So, well, I wonder why once they realized who it was up against.
Yeah. And NGEA really, they're going to have a hard time going forward. I know that, you know, they got the governor in their corner, so they're counting on that relationship is to get stuff done. Yeah. But then that just goes to show you that, you know, there's the vengeance there. I mean, pretty much Democrats were openly saying NGEA is going to pay a price for this. Like, we're not going to let them. So essentially what you're telling us is what are you going to not give them good contracts and hurt the workers that have nothing to do with your little squabbles amongst the elite? You know, I mean, that's basically what our government said. And there were a number of Democrats that made very shameful statements about, you know, vengeance on the NGEA. Well, you know, that means to me, we're going to hurt working people. We're going to hurt teachers because of our nonsense. I didn't appreciate that, you know? All right, so what else do we have going on? It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia season still in delay. When do we get to see some new episodes, man?
I hope soon. I was talking to a couple of people earlier. I saw Danny DeVito was supposed to be in Asbury Park on Saturday.
Oh, boy.
But we were joking. It just says something like an evening with Danny DeVito. Like, is it stand-up? Is it a retrospective? Is it just watching Danny DeVito on stage?
I'm sure you can maybe get some details about that online, but that's I know that. Well, they're doing some side projects now, so you know.
Yeah.
I don't know when those side projects, but I just want to watch It's Always Sunny. I'm not watching their stupid side projects. I'm boycotting them until I see It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So, Pat, I want to thank you.
By the way, this is good radio.
This is good.
Yeah, this is good radio.
I don't know if I can put the stuff out on this podcast that we do on our Facebook pages, but those of you that follow me and Pat,
it's probably a good idea. We'll get in trouble for that.
You really have to watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia if you haven't seen it. It's a horrible show about a bunch of narcissists.
Yeah.
And it takes, it's dark humor. So if you like dark humor, check it out.
We endorse nothing that they say, but go watch it.
Exactly. Yeah. So Pat, anything before we go, people want to get in touch with you or Socialist Party or find out where how do we reach you, find people over there at Socialist Party of New Jersey?
All right. So you can go to our local in Central Jersey, which I'm a member of. It's our website, cnjsocialistparty.org. Anyone national can go to our national website, socialistpartyusa.net. I did want to mention we have our organizing conference coming up, which we do every year. And aside from it happening, the reason I wanted to mention it was because 2 years ago we were fortunate enough to have it in New Jersey. Yeah, I know, Brian, you're one of our keynote speakers. A lot of F-bombs in that speech, too, which everyone...
There was some F-bombs in it.
Which everyone appreciated, including my family in the front row appreciated that. But 2 years ago, we were fortunate enough to host it with our Central Jersey local. And this year, we are going down to Central Alabama. It's going to be in Montgomery this year, in middle of July. So all that info is up on socialistorganizing.org. Obviously, I know it's a bit of a trek for New Jersey, but it's gonna be interesting. But I'm looking forward to it. The Alabama comrades are incredible. They actually just opened up their own party office, which is really cool.
Awesome.
But 3 days of party building workshops, panel discussions. If you happen to find yourself down there, it's a really great time.
All right, man. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I'll be seeing you soon, hopefully around in a diner in New Jersey. We'll talk again. And if you ever have anything, listen, man, open door. I've been very green heavy as I get started because I've spent so much time with the Greens over the last couple of years, but I certainly do appreciate our comradeship and our friendship and the work that we've done together, man. And
you want to get more red into that mix.
Yeah. The party work is I developed a lot of this stuff, working with the Green Party, but I needed to get out and do some independent work again, man, spread my wings. Party work is consuming, it's a lot of work. And this project here, this little podcast seems like something that I can sink my teeth into, but continue to build on that work, and I'm really glad that I can, work with you and a lot of other groups again. So looking forward to it, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Good night, Pat. And good night, everybody. Check us out, njrevolutionradio.com. If you can kick us a few bucks, help us keep the lights on. We work on donations, and we appreciate even the smallest one. Thanks a lot, and have a good night.